if you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be in Isaiah chapter 40. And I want to begin reading in verse 6. The voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." And I'm going to stop right there. Many preach hell to frighten people. Many preach heaven to bribe people. And many preach works for rewards to motivate people. Now, I want to be clear. The scriptures do talk a lot about hell, about heaven, and about works. But that's not the message. That's not the message. Saved sinners preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. To some he's a stumbling block. To some he is foolishness. But unto the called, Christ Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And he is our message. Now, the title of my message today is called "The Twofold Message of Evangelism." Sound good? All right. It's found here in Isaiah chapter 40. The twofold message. Verse 6. The voice said, "Cry." Now, let's be clear, this is the voice of the Lord. Because, here's the thing, the voice said cry. Why is that? Well, here's a fact. There is always a message for the people of God. Always. And here's the other fact. There always has been a message for the people of God. As a matter of fact, you can look in verse 1 and you'll see this in chapter 40, verse 1 of Isaiah. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Saith your God, excuse me. What does he say? Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. There is a time to speak to the Lord's people comforting words, comforting. But there's always a message. And here's the thing, the word of God is a comfort for the people of God. And God's people are commanded to speak. The voice said cry. And that's exactly what he meant. Cry out. Now, these words are directed at the minister, at Isaiah here, to cry. But here's the thing. every believer is to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. It's a fearful thing to speak for God. It's a fearful thing. I try not to look it, but I sometimes get terrified up here. Especially if I lose my place. But it is. I remember Earl looking at me one time. He told everybody this one time. He said he was on his way up. Scott Richardson was on his way down. Scott Richardson stopped and shook his hand and said, "Remember, you're speaking for God." And Earl said, "Well, thanks a lot. Can't forget it." And it is fearful. But here, what'd the preacher ask? What'd the prophet ask? And he said, "What shall I cry?" You know, I got a feeling that in a lot of pulpits today, all around us and everywhere else, there's a lot of people that didn't ask this question. What shall I cry? What is the message? What do I say? And please understand, this is a very, very good question, especially for preachers. It's a good question to ask yourself when you're talking to someone face to face. But it's vital when you stand behind here. Vital question for the preacher to ask, because here's the thing. I don't want to be up here trying to proclaim my message. I want his message. I don't want mine. And believe me, folks, you don't want mine. I want his message. Oh, because it is his message that must be proclaimed. It's his gospel that must be preached. Now, yes, it is our gospel if we believe it. It is my gospel if I've received it. But it's his message. It's his message. So what is the message of the Lord here in Isaiah chapter 40? What is the word of our God? All flesh is grass. I'm going to tell you something. That's the first part of the twofold message of evangelism. All flesh is grass. Now, this is a metaphor. Because in truth, flesh is flesh and grass is grass. But he's going to give us an example and he's going to tell us what he's talking about here in just a minute. But this is the statement. This is the word of the Lord. What does he say? All flesh is grass. And that's true. That's exactly true. And this is the message of the Lord for his people. Comfort ye, my people. All flesh is grass. All flesh is grass. Oh, my. And what? And all the goodliness thereof. Oh, is as the flower of the field. The goodliness of the flesh. That's the reference. All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof of the flesh is like a flower in the field. This is what he tells us. Grass is nice, I guess. Flowers are pretty. But that's not the point. He's going to tell us here. Because then he gives us the explanation of what he's talking about with this metaphor. And why God wants this message brought forth. Here it is. What's he say? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness of the flesh is a flower in the field. Verse 7, the grass withereth. Wait a minute. Is that a comfort? It's a fact. It's a fact. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. And here's another metaphor. But surely, 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 the people is grass. The grass withers, and I'm going to tell you this. I was looking at this, and it says the flower fades. I was looking at this in Young's Literal Translation, because it helps sometimes for me, because it is more closely a transliteration than a lot of things. It actually, for a lot of the places, it leaves the words in the order they're in the Greek or in the Hebrew. But here, this actually did change just a little bit, but without changing. Because Young's Little Translation says this, withered is the grass. Faded is the flower. One's in the present tense, and one's in the past tense. Because the KJV puts them both in the present tense, and Young's Little Translation puts both of them in the past tense. What's that mean? It means the flesh, and the best that the flesh can do, the goodliness thereof, is worthless in God's sight. Yeah. And it always has been. It always has been. Always. It doesn't matter how young your flesh is, and it doesn't matter how old your flesh is. It doesn't matter how healthy your flesh is, and how crippled your flesh is. Present tense and past tense. It's withered and it's faded. Neither the flesh nor its goodliness has ever had any value in God's sight. In God's sight. Now, we know from the scriptures that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. We also know that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. It always has been that way. It's always been that way. Now, your husband or your wife may think you are marvelous. Your neighbors can be so envious of your piety or generosity. And your enemies may hate you for your nobility and humility. Oh, but God knows your heart. God knows your flesh. And he says it here. All flesh is as grass. Your goodliness, your righteousness is like a flower. Well, grass withered. And the flower faded away. That's what you are of in and of yourselves before God Almighty. That's what we all are before God Almighty in and of ourselves. And I've had people tell me that as an excuse or a way to justify themselves. But God knows my heart. You ever heard that? God knows my heart. Well, yes, he does. And that ought to scare the bejesus out of you. That's a bad way to put it. It ought to scare you to death. Because God does know your heart. God does know your flesh is grass. And God knows out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Never underestimate the power of self-deception. Why? All flesh is grass. All flesh is grass. But what's this mean? I'll say it again. The flesh and the goodliness of the flesh are of what? No eternal value. The grass withered. It's withered. It's withered. And they're not talking about a manicured lawn when he's talking about the grass here. He's talking about grain. You understand? It dies off every year. And I was talking to Debbie when I was talking about the flower fades. You understand? when a flower falls off, you know what you got left? You got a weed. That's what it is. Because that's what it looks like before the flower shows up. It's only the flower that's the beauty, the goodliness of it. But it doesn't last. It never lasts. You can take it, and I've seen them do it. You take them and put them in a Bible. They call it pressing flowers. You can put them under glass. You can dip it in, what is it, I don't know, acrylic or something like that, you know? And they make little, real flower, plastic coated, but you know what? That pressed flower and that plastic coated flower are both exactly the same thing. They're dead. They're dead.
Right.
They're of no value. Not in God's sight. There's a line of a song we sing. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail. I like that. That's what we are. The grass is withered. The flower is gone. We are temporal creatures. And I can tell you this from personal experience, and I've talked to others who have told me more. The older you get, the worse your body gets. It doesn't get better. And in the strength of your youth is no strength at all.
Right.
I thought it was. I did. I mean, you know. I mean, I thought I'd be young and strong forever or die really quick. No. I get to fall apart and get some guy to cut on my neck. I'm glad he did. I feel much better now. But your body will betray you.
Yeah.
Why? Because all flesh physically is grass.
Yes.
That's not the message. But don't. Here's the thing. Comfort ye my people. He doesn't leave us here. All flesh is grass. And that flower's dead. And it fell off and you're left with the weeds. But that's not where he leaves us. Yes, the people are grass. Yes, and here it is. The grass withers and the flower fades. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord blows on it. Now, this is not just the gentle breeze that blows the grain back and forth and the amber waves of grain in the song, America the Beautiful. No, this is a wind that will scour the ground. It will scour the ground and it will blow everything away. And we are nothing but grass. The people is grass. What did he say? All flesh is grass? That's people.
Yeah.
That's people. People are grass. People are dead and dying. And the prophet repeats it. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Ah, there's the good news. There's the good news. The word of our God shall stand forever. Grass withered, flower faded, God still is, and God always has been, and God always will be, and his word shall stand forever. Oh, I like that, the word of our God. Peter tells us, let me just look there for just a second. This is 1 Peter 1:25, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, But the word of the Lord endureth forever. You know, he said right before that, verse 24, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And, I like this. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Isn't that good? That's good. Yeah. You understand? Peter's preaching the same thing Isaiah did.
Yes, he did.
Isn't that amazing? Christ preached the same things Daniel did. And Moses did. There's only one gospel, folks. The word of the Lord endureth forever. Oh, I like that. Oh, my. His word stands. And matter of fact, right here, right now, we're preaching the same thing Isaiah preached, the same thing Peter preached, the same things Jesus Christ preached. Why? Because there is no other gospel. None. None than the gospel of Christ. This is where I got this from. Rolf Barnard said the twofold message of evangelism is this: all flesh is grass. And the second message of evangelism is this. Look at verse 9 in Isaiah chapter 40. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up unto the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God.
Yeah.
Ah, that's the second.
That's the second.
That's it. Oh, yeah, that's the second part of the message. All flesh is grass, and behold your God.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I do. Behold. Whatever. He didn't stop there either. Behold your God, right? Behold your God. Then, verse 10, behold the Lord God. Well, what's he going to do? He'll come. He'll come in his good time and in his place and doing exactly what he wants. Behold, the Lord will come, what? With strong hand. Strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. Oh, I like this. And his work before him. I'm going to tell you something. Grass don't work. Flowers don't work. God works. The Lord God works. Oh, I like that. Behold, the Lord God will come. Oh, what's he going to do? His work is before him. What's he going to do? He shall feed his flock. He shall feed his flock. Like a shepherd. Oh, like a good shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. The twofold message of evangelism is this: all flesh is grass, and behold your God.
Yeah.
Understand? There's a truth to the fact the long suffering of the Lord is salvation.
Yeah.
Oh, when he comes, he's coming with a strong arm. And when he visits his people, when he calls out his sheep by name, he's doing it with a strong arm. And his hands go to carry them. And it says the parable he gave, he picks up the sheep, he puts it on his shoulders, and he carries it back to the fold. And where's that sheep at? That sheep's in the fold.
Yeah.
What did that sheep have to do with it? Well, nothing, because he was lost.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Now, the lamb could argue with the shepherd. I don't think it'd work. And we're dumb enough to argue with God. We are. Why? Because all flesh is grass. And all our goodness, all our goodliness, all our righteousness is our filthy rags. He comes with a strong hand. He shall gather, he shall carry, and he shall gently lead. We preach a sovereign God who saves his people from their sins. And who brings them in at his good time and his good pleasure. You know why? Because these scriptures say this: thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power.
Yeah.
Not your power. You ain't got no power. I ain't got no power. We have no power. We're withered. We're faded. Oh, we need a God, the Lord God, with a strong hand to come. We preach a sovereign God, a sovereign Christ. We preach the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And he rules and he reigns. And right now he's seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And right now he's out gathering his sheep. He can be at more than one place at one time. We can't. Right now he's gathered. He's here with us, gathered together in his name. He says, there I am. In the midst. Oh, I like that. Here's the thing. All flesh is grass. All flowers fade. And the Lord thy God, behold him. Look upon him. Trust him. Here's the twofold message of the gospel. You're nothing, and the Lord Jesus Christ is everything. I see it. Oh, and even more. Without him, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. You can do nothing. You know who said that? He did. Jesus Christ said that. Without me, you can do nothing. We have a really hard time getting that through our heads. We're forgetful. But it's okay. We're forgetful, but he is faithful. We're weak, but he's strong. You know, a couple of the best people in the Bible, you know what they were called? Dogs. Caleb has followed me, what? Fully. And that's what Caleb's name means, dog. And that Gentile woman that came to Christ saying, help me, help me. And the disciples said, send her away. She's disrupting the whole place. She's bringing down our buzz. She's making everybody nervous. God told her, Jesus Christ told her, it's not fit to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. And what'd she say? What did she say? She said this. Truth, Lord. Truth. That's the truth. Christ spoke it. It was true. And then she said, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Yeah. Here's the thing. That woman knew all flesh is grass.
Yes, she did.
She knew it. Christ said, great is thy faith. And be it unto you as you will. Your daughter's healed. That woman knew all flesh is grass and behold your God. Oh, that's good stuff. She knew that. Now the question is, do you know it? Because here's the thing. There's one thing. The believer knows right now all flesh is grass. My flesh ain't got no better. My flower hadn't gotten any prettier. It's still faded. My goodliness of the flesh is gone. Now, and so is yours. Even knowing Christ is wonderful, it's great, and it will change you, but it's not changing your flesh. I remember Earl, when he first said that, I thought, wow, that's kind of shocking, but it was true. I was depraved, I am depraved, and I shall be depraved until I wake in his likeness. This flesh, in my flesh, dwells currently no good thing. All flesh is grass, but behold the Lord God. Behold your God. Oh, I like that. Because I can tell you this, until you come to a bit of the knowledge of knowing all flesh is grass, you're not going to behold the Lord God.
Right.
I mean, that's just it. Yeah. He's going to show you. When he says, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live, they're going to see a bit of themselves. Yeah. They're going to see a bit. He'll back you into a corner. I remember decades ago, because I didn't know exactly what to say. The only thing I could come up with, I told Walter and others, that if God ever does for you what he did for me, you'll be saved.
Yeah.
Because he put me in a place where I couldn't stand myself.
Right.
Everything I did was wrong. Mm-hmm. And you know why? Because everything I did was wrong. I just knew it. And I didn't know it before.
Right, me neither.
Wasn't even looking before. I mean, I tried to be nice and good and try to treat people the way I wanted to be treated because I wanted to be treated nice. But no. All flesh is grass. And when you come to see just a bit of that, all flesh is grass, you're ready to behold your Lord. He'll reveal himself to you. This is back in 1 Peter, before the part I just read. Verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but what was manifest, made known in these last times for you. Now here, remember what I preached last week? Who by him, do believe in God. What's that mean? But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Who by him do believe in God. By Christ you believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls, what? In obeying the truth. Wait for it though. Through the Spirit.
Right.
You can't even obey in the flesh.
Right.
You can't obey in the flesh. You can't believe in the flesh. It's by him you believe, and it's by the Spirit you obey. That sounds pretty depraved to me. That sounds like God's leaving nothing up to me. And yes, thank God, that's the way it is. I don't want anything left up to me, because I'll break it. I'll mess it up. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Seeing that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again. Ah, there it is. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What? The word of God endures forever. All flesh is grass, and behold your God.
Yeah.
I like that. That's the twofold message of evangelism, and I agree. Because you can't have one without the other. You understand? The believer is righteous only because God says he's righteous.
Right.
He says, "Be holy, for I am holy." Well, the believer is holy. You know why? Because God says he is.
Right.
And the word of the Lord shall endure forever. Oh, nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God does it. That men should fear him. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, who has given us his life, given us his death. He died the death that we could not. His work, his substitution, his satisfaction, his offering, accepted by you in our stead. And you have given unto us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And for that we thank you. Be with Paul and Walter as they come to preach your word. And thank you, Lord, one more for everything. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.